Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the landmark milestone of Sister Kate's bush block to Stolen Generation survivors and their families for a new place of healing and remembrance. We are going to catch up a yarn now with CEO of SKHKAC, which is Sister Kate's Home Kids Aboriginal Corporation. And that is Jalaminya Maya. Mia on the line. My sister, good morning. How are you?
Okay, Wanju. Nalak nak nijabuja mudich weird mudich mamin.
Which is a beautiful greet. Thank you very much. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, sister? TJ.
Okay. I'm actually a Stolen Gen survivor. I'm a Sister Kate home kid. I was born in Wajak Nungabuja, where the home was, and also where our bush block is. However, I would like to acknowledge my people. I am the Meningguran and Wadri, my elders, of this state in the great southern region. And as I said, I was born in Wajak Buja, and I've got a kinship to this country. And I just like to acknowledge while I've got the time. Thank you, Wajak elders, for letting me talk to Brother Boy and all the nation today on your land.
Yeah, fantastic. Congratulations on the new bush block. And I believe you're standing on the bush block right now. Is that right, sister?
Yeah, I'm sitting. You know what? We had a fabulous, event today. We had the minister there. We had ILSC. We had the land divested. Money for our first stage build. But guess what? I'm sitting on a log, a tree that's actually here.
Yes.
We're sitting, and I've got all these beautiful banks here and a jarrah gum all around me, and the wildflowers are starting to actually pop their heads up. And the sweetness, the perfume is intoxicating. So I'm actually sitting where I once sat when I was a 10-year-old. But, yeah, that's where I'm at the moment. It's ours now.
Too deadly. Your beautiful ancestors sitting there smiling down at you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm thinking all those homies that actually gone before me.
Exactly.
Because, the home was operating for 40 years, brother.
So, yeah.
A lot of it. And I'm actually 70. I've just turned 70 this year.
Yeah, still
so,
a kitten.
So a lot of our older homies, they've gone along now, but they happy. I know they're happy.
Yes.
In spirit, us actually reconnecting with this bush block and actually having it put into our hands. It's of great significance. But the perfume, I can just smell. I'm sitting around the wildflowers and the perfume is just so intoxicating.
Yeah.
It's taken me back to those beautiful memories as a child.
And the bush block, what will you be using it for, my sister?
Well, we've started already using it for our healing program.
Yes.
So we're in trauma recovery of Stolen Gen, you know that.
Yes.
And also what we're doing is we've got programs to bring our elders on, our cultural knowledge holders, to share knowledge about the different wildflowers and what country is all about with our younger gen. So we've got a succession plan up, brother, that once us older homies step back and down, then we will have younger homie descendants coming in, and they've got to get used to holding and understanding this bush block and what it means to us.
Yes.
Because it's their inheritance. They're going to inherit.
A good pass on, exactly.
As time goes on,
Exactly.
It's a place of healing, brother. That's what it's going to be, and sharing knowledge.
Well, Stolen Generation, we talk about the hurt that comes from that, and we are talking about a generational hurt we carry, and we need spaces like this to build that hurt, a good medicine, you could say.
Yeah, you've just said the right words. It's good medicine because country heals.
Yes.
We all know that we're connected to a place of belonging. And even though Sister Kate home kids come from all parts of WA to this place, to the home, they've all, over 40 years, back in the day, used to run over this site.
Yes.
They used to run barefoot. And I know because I'm living memory of it.
Yes.
So it's got great potential. It's so meaning. And in our programs, we're all going to be teaching our younger generations, younger homie descendants, we call them, about caring for country, because you care for country and look after country, then country look after you.
Yeah, too deadly. Beautiful statement there, running with that. Sister, how many staff crew you got on board?
Well, we're a small organisation. We have been for a long time because, in fact, we did got where we are on the smell of an oil rag, so
yes,
to speak, as the old people would say.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like a bit like the bush mechanics, you know. We'll actually improvise.
Yes.
But we're lucky.
Work with what you got.
To be able to develop a program called the Cultural Awareness Training. So we've actually taken that out to a lot of corporate bodies and government agencies. That's the revenue. Pays our way so we can keep this place operating. Mm. excuse me, darling.
Mm. Yeah, and just checking, sister, give us the description of where your mob is situated.
So with that there's myself as a CEO, my founder CEO of Sister Kate.
Mm.
We've actually got an administrator. I've been a couple of more homies on board. We've got a directorship that's made up of homies and our descendants.
Yes.
And so virtually a staff of three full-time and two part-time. So we've done a hell of a lot and achieved a hell of a lot.
Small amount of staff.
A small staff in a small organisation.
Yeah, fantastic. And, look, thank you very much for the yarn there, the sister there, Tujalamanu Mia. She's the CEO of SKHKAC, Sister Kate's Home Kids Aboriginal Corporation. Look, a beautiful yarn. We'll leave it at that. We'll contact her later on. And regarding Bush Block, and that's a landmark milestone of Sister Kate's Stolen Generation survivors and their families for a new place of healing and remembrance. And a beautiful yarn there, and a very, very powerful space in regarding the Stolen Generation and the generational trauma that our people travel through and still carries with us today. But working on country, living on country, that's good medicine, as we mentioned in that yarn there. But thank you very much, my sister. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here, 1-800-422-416.
Far too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. We have to find a way.
Find a way
to bring some love in here today. With your love,
with your love, with your love,
with your love,
with your love, with your love,
with your love.
Everybody saying I'm wrong, cause they don't wanna speak about everything that we are. They trying to push it under the rug, but I'ma speak to these kids now, and I'ma show them some heart. Let them know what we come from, let them know what we stand on. This is Black Land, fam, let them know what my plans are. Red money, I let them know about my grandma, cause she born from the fire. Now that's the same one that y'all going up against now. Reconcile, we been waiting, but y'all been debating when y'all clueless to what the hell going on. Set the vibes here. Well, I'ma tell all of y'all what the time is. Damn, cuz, what's that? Oh, well, we got the show. Now that's live, I'ma build with the fams now, and I'ma speak where they fail your loss. Hey, yo, Australia, y'all did wrong. 2020 gonna be the year that you turn it all around and you give it back. See, the bed's been burning, denying my purpose for far too long where that lie lurking. But, fam, it ain't just one, is it, cuz? Yo,
what's going on with your love?
Hey!
Baby, baby,
we got love. bother. There's no need to escalate. War is not the answer. Only love will conquer hate.
Woo. And mother, everybody thinks we're wrong, but who are they to judge us when they don't know what's going on with your love, baby, baby?
Back Noongar people to the values of before, gain strength from your culture, the spiritual dreaming war, seek shelter from the vulture of colonial oppressors' law, for the presence of Jaeger's spirit as Noongars unite once more.
Listen to the stories as the elders again explain how your culture flourished before the Europeans came. Find why it's important, your strength must never wane. Noongars need the spiritual, like dry land needs rain. See contemporary, traditional come together on stage. Guitars weeping, drummers thumping in anguish, rage. Hurt, fear, frustration escape the poet's cage while haunting digits echo deep from a forgotten age. Observe the women dancing, weaving to sing a song. History's mysteries from whence your soul belongs. Forget urban landscapes, go back to where you were strong. Search for hidden answers from which your spirit belongs. Hear rhythmic black performance caused vast crowds to sway. Soulful mesmeric lyrics put broken hearts on display, but words of hope and freedom offered a brand new day. As daylight kisses darkness, children laugh, dance and play.
Kaya Kayana,
a means to survive.
Kaya Kayana,
for which Noongar strive.
Kaya Kayana,
a culture on display.
Kaya Kayana,
celebrating indigenous way.
Kaya Kayana,
a means to survive.
Kaya Kayana,
for which Noongar strive.
Kaya Kayana,
a culture on display.
Kaya Kayana,
celebrating indigenous way.
Kaya Kayana. Yo, yo. Yo, yo, we been through the worst, still we soldier on. Still the culture's strong, peace to my brothers, still holding on, hold it on. Stay staunch when you're told you're wrong, pretty mad if you're all along. We need more love for all of the brothers up in the forefront, showing us how we should ball up. It's all love if you want more, cause you see the peeps. We speak in peace, but we need relief, believe in me. I've seen the streets, but I know there's a better way for my brothers now. Keeping family bond strong and my cousins round, cause I'm proud that you a family man. You done a lot more than your family can, and that's the kind of stuff that will warm my heart. Noongar showing strength for unity when we're torn apart. All we need to really do is form a start. Knowledge is where I fall apart. I saw the spark. Ah.
Kaya Kayana,
a means to survive.
Kaya Kayana,
for which Noongar strive.
Kaya Kayana,
a culture on display.
Kaya Kayana,
celebrating indigenous way.
Kaya
Kayana, a means to survive.
Kaya Kayana,
for which Noongar strive.
Kaya Kayana,
our culture on display. Celebrating indigenous way.
To the Noongs down south, straight holding it down, making the man proud when he kick it with crowd. To the Yamajis up north, yeah, my brothers of course, keeping the culture strong and collect from the source. To the Wongas out mid, straight living up off the grid. I ain't been there in a minute, but I'll visit with kids. And to the Kuris out east, my brothers, you straight beast. It's time for us to speak, so come and sing it with me, hey.
Kaya Kayana,
a means to survive.
Kaya Kayana,
for which Noongar strive.
Kaya Kayana,
our culture on display.
Kaya Kayana,
celebrating indigenous way.
Kaya Kayana,
a means to survive.
Kaya Kayana,
for which Noongar strive.
Kaya Kayana,
our culture on display.
Kaya Kayana,
celebrating indigenous way. May our campfires burn forever.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
Nobody knows It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Yana, Professor Reuben Bolt. I talk about the Vincent Lingari Memorial Lecture. It comes at a critical time, says Advocate, and we'll have some more information about the walk-off back in the day, the longest walk-off ever. On the line, Professor Reuben, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, sir?
I'm based at the Casuarina campus at Charles Darwin University in Darwin.
All right, fantastic. So talking about this fantastic event happening first time on Gurindji country, tell us about the Vincent Lingari Memorial Lecture.
Yeah, so the Vincent Lingari Memorial Lecture is one of our key events at Charles Darwin University.
Yes.
This year was the 21st lecture. In the past, we've had various lectures by some of our prominent First Nations leaders deliver that lecture, also some key government officials as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lecture that's been in place now for probably, I haven't got the right amount right now, but something like 28 or 29 years.
Okay.
But it's the 21st lecture because a couple of years we missed.
Sure. And how important is the lecture, and where did it stem from?
Yeah, well, I think it's it really celebrates and honours the legacy of Vincent Lingari when he led the walk-off of Wavehill Station.
Yes.
Back in 1966. And it was a walk-off that included 200 other Aboriginal people that were involved. It wasn't the longest, but it was one of the longest strikes in the history of Australia. Over 9 years, they did their strike for, so that's quite significant. And really, it was one of the key events that led to land rights in Australia.
Well, we're talking about stolen wages there, and they walked off because of the fact that they weren't getting paid the right amount of money. It shows the true leadership Vincent held.
Yeah, look, I think he was very courageous. there's probably not many people in the country, non-Indigenous, that would be able to strike for probably more than a couple of weeks, given the reliance on money. But that wasn't the point of it for Vincent Lingiari and those that followed. It was more about equal wages, but it was also about, as we know, leading more to the land rights. So, and then it ended up in that, we see that famous photo of the then Prime Minister, Gough Whitlam, pouring the sand into Vincent's hand.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so with that, they're also pushing for a public holiday on this day, is that right?
Yeah, well, there was actually a petition that went around while we were there. We reenacted a march, and so we marched from Kalkaringi probably about a kilometre and a half, and then we had some lunch down by the river. But at that event, there was some of our key national government representatives. So Pat Dodson was there, Senator Dodson. Also, Marion Scrimmager, the member for Lingiari, the seat of Lingiari. Jacinta Price, the administrator from the Northern Territory, was there as well. So some good representation, and that's why they went to put out a petition which said this should be a national public holiday.
Okay, and do we know the outcome of that, or where does that stand?
Well, I mean, that was only on the weekend.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, early days.
It was 3 days ago, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay. And this is an annual event, isn't it, Professor?
Yes, it is. As I said, this is our 21st lecture.
Okay.
And usually what we do, we ask the speakers. Obviously, we're a university, which, you know, there is freedom of speech, so they can really talk about what they want to talk about.
Sure.
But we ask them to honour Vincent Lingiari's legacy. That's the key. And if there's any key significant events that they want to talk about, and obviously this year, Thomas Mayer, who was our guest speaker,
Uluru Statement.
He spoke a lot about the Uluru Statement work.
Yeah, powerful. Is the event open to the public?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's open to the public. And this year, because it was on country, I mean, anyone could have turned up if they could make the trek out to the Freedom Day Festival.
Yep.
I don't know how many, but I'd probably estimate there would have been probably maybe 500 or 600 there. Probably could have been more. It was right before the Paul Kelly concert.
Yep.
So
people hang around for it. Two birds, one stone.
Yeah, and Colour Stone was there too.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, a very important lecture. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to the mob that way. And it's fantastic that the first time it's happening on Gurindji country.
Yeah, look, we're keen to work more closely with the Freedom Day Festival organisers and also the Gurindji Corporation Board.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to work with them and see what we can do for next year. We definitely want to make our partnership bigger and better and stronger.
Yes.
So we've got a little bit of work to do before next August the 26th.
All right, Professor Rubin, thank you very much for your yarn. All the best to you. Stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. Professor Rubin Bolt, his name is, and he's with CDU. That's Charles Darwin University, and talking about, well, they're hosting the Vincent Lingiari Memorial Lecture, which commemorates the Wave Hill Station walk-off by Vincent Lingiari with his Gurindji people and other groups back in August 1966. And when he walked off, he took 200 mob with him, and that's fighting for equal pay. And that was back in 1966, so very powerful. And they have this lecture event every year. Look at this fantastic event in regarding stolen generation, stolen wages, all the above, closing gaps, and we are still fighting here in this country, First Nations movement. We are the people, always was, always will be. Have you seen Yana Strong, National Tall Black, 1-800-422-416.
I see shadows on the hill up beside the old sawmill, where my people were killed. I see shadows on the hill.
I see the shadows, I see the gallows. What happens in the deep washes in the shallows. They don't want to speak about the first battles. They can only see when they're looking down a barrel. I see the shadows. I hear
hear the shots. I feel the spirit from the fight that never stopped. They wanna talk about how far we got.
Never stops.
Where the bodies drop, they build up the old parking lot. And they call that survival. Put us on a mission. Force fed us bubbles. They put statues on our land just to worship false idols. Cuffs on our hands just to keep us in a cycle. Blood on their hands, bodies at their feet. And as a warning, they gon' hang them from the trees. Name for the banks, rivers and the streets. Now the shadows never leave. No justice, no peace.
Shadows on the hill, up beside the old sawmill. Where my people were killed, I see shadows on the hill.
On the product of resistance, I embody who survived. On the strength of that spirit, I'm the voice of who have died. So who the fuck are you to civilize? No, we can't rely when you recall. I hear your words, I see your lies. And in the dead of night, you can hear those babies cry. You can feel those eyes from the banks where they lay beside. Feel it in your spine when you know you're not alone. Shine bright till the shadows make it home.
And around the granite stones, they'll forever be alone. Their killers got all free, but their shadows never leave. I see shadows on the hill, up beside the old song.
Let's talk about love. Let's
The Sovereign Yidinji government is calling for persons who are interested in learning a foreign language. The Yidinji nation wants to take its message to the world and is putting together a series of classes in Portuguese and German. You can contact the Yidinji government through Facebook. Just type in Yidinji Bama, or why not call the office on 0742114227. This message is brought to you by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade of the SYG.
National Talk Black.
Last night, I mean, I know this something would I be talking. I tell you me not dangerous. I say I try for people to you. And I because of a good power this got you. And I be me that no good kid from you. I can only remember. I be the nice of those cover. I be the long time to the air. Yeah, buddy. I be the one that be the one that what is at the using. I came up with the look up again.
Yes, a very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Well, girls can do anything. That's the statement I'm running with in regards to the next yarn that I'm going to have is with Deadly Sister, Chantal Leah Ketchell, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander woman, aspiring screenwriter. And we're talking about, well, two hats she wears as a screenwriter, but also working in the mining industry. And she got a documentary, and it's coming on SBS On Demand. And the documentary is called Sisters in Mining. So very good fit. And on the line we have Sister Chantal. Very good morning, sis. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Trevor. Which way? Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
I'm good. Yeah, thank you, my sister, for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Chantal.
All right, yeah. I'm born and raised in Cairns, but my mob are Kanju from up the Cape and Torres Strait on my dad's side.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, yeah, Baru Island and Mare Island up there.
Yeah, represent too deadly.
That's it.
Now, my sister, look, congratulations. Aspiring screenwriter you are, and now you've got this documentary called Sisters in Mining that's coming out on SBS On Demand. And as part of the SBS NITV Curious Australia series, fantastic. But you wear two hats because you work in the mine. You're a miner, you could say, driving machinery, but also screenwriter. So juggling the two. So tell us how this all came about and how you entered the industry as part of an Indigenous program.
Yeah, so I've gone back now, 2013. Mm. I was a project manager in public service and that, and some positions came up in mining. And I thought, oh, why not try, you know, something new? And so I applied and got through. And so I've been in the mining industry now for 9 years. Yeah. And when I started back then, I was only in the crew that I started on, the only Indigenous female on crew, and one of only six other women on the whole crew. So in that time, like, mining's done a lot around, like, to increase the diversity, I guess, of their workforce. And so over the years, they've started to do intakes of, I guess, Indigenous women. And, I thought, you know, why not do a documentary on that, I guess, on Indigenous women in the mining industry, in an industry that we weren't really represented in a lot, and I guess how we're carving a space out for ourselves and the value and contribution we bring to that workspace. So I work in mining in the production space, and as to how I got into screenwriting, about 2017, my cousin tagged me on a Facebook post for AFTAR, which is a film school down in Sydney.
Yep.
And previous to that, you know, just write silly like little blogs and stuff online just for laugh, you know, with your family and friends and that.
Yep.
And she goes, you should think about writing. And I've always enjoyed writing, but I never saw it as, I guess,
career path.
Career.
Yeah, exactly.
A career path, yeah.
Mm.
So I thought, why not just try, you know? And so I applied to get into this workshop. I got accepted to go to the workshop, which was writing for television, screenwriting for television.
Mm.
And then the lecturer, or the guy that was facilitating the workshop, he, Matt Dabner from AFTARS, he said, oh, why don't you apply to get in? And they only take a few people every year.
Yep.
And, so I applied and I got it. I got in. So that was 2018. I started my studies there, And when you look, like, I was there sitting in that room and everyone's, in, like, introducing themselves. There's only 16 of us in that class.
Mm.
And one's, like, I work for MTV. Another one got their own production company. Like, what are you doing? I was like, I drive trucks in the mine.
Yeah, shut your mouth. That's what they feel.
Yeah. So, like, I felt, like, completely out of my depth. And I was like, oh, what are you even doing, you big natter, you know? Like,
shut up.
But, and, you know, at this big film school, that's on, like, the edge. I think it's like Fox Studios is next door.
Yes.
And so then, but you just... I knew immediately, I guess, that weekend that I went down for my orientation, weekend, this is what you're supposed to be doing, you know, like storytelling, because that's what our mob,
We belong to that. That's what we do.
We belong to it. That's proper. That's the, you know, think our history was passed, and, like, exactly. We all know how to spin a yarn, it was just, I guess with this documentary, it was marrying those two things together, so I've been very fortunate in my writing. Like, I'm still an emerging writer. I'm still learning my craft, but I've been very fortunate to write, like, black comedy. I did a documentary with Naomi Wernitong here in Cairns. If you wanted to check that out, you mob it on YouTube now, called Native. Yeah, and that was
Native.
With ABC.
Yep.
So, and just writing for different television shows on NITV, kids shows, one coming out soon, Barambi Kids. So I've been very fortunate, but moving into the documentary space where you can kind of celebrate black excellence and things like that,
yeah.
I think it's been... I thought, just go for it, like when this Curious Australia initiative come up. So
sister, when you're doing the documentary about sisters in mining, so you're still on the job and also doing the screenwriting on the side. So you were productive with your time. So when you're in between your jobs, pen to paper or going crazy on the iPad or whatever the case may be, was that the case? In between shifts?
Yeah, so sitting in the truck.
In the truck, exactly. I'm trying to picture this.
You can't have... electronics with you back then, so I just used to just print off scripts to read in the truck, just so I could learn how it's supposed to look and how a script's supposed to thing, you know, formatting and things like that, and just learning your craft, I guess.
Sure.
While I was studying, and so then yeah, writing scripts while I was in the truck. And but when I was pulled up, like, I'd get under the digger and I'd know, all right, this is a bigger digger. I'll only get 4 buckets. So, you know.
Good timing.
Time that job, eh?
Yeah, I got 25 minutes to put another paragraph in this story, the documentary.
I wrote a feature film
yes.
in the truck, you know, that's been purchased by, or like under an option agreement by a production company.
Oh.
So I think if you're passionate about something,
exactly.
and you find your purpose in that, you make the time, eh? Like you make
exactly, make the time, exactly. Let me ask you a question, Sister Chantelle, regarding the mining company. Were they in support of what you were doing? Because to me, this documentary, Sisters in Mining, I mean, talking about black girls in mining, but also it's a promotional arm, a marketing arm. You're promoting the company or promoting sisters in the mining industry. All the above, were they in support of what you were doing?
Of course, to a degree. Like when I approached the mining manager, I was like, oh, man, she's not going to say yes. Because there's so many things like that you hear about the mining industry, whether it's the environment, the treatment of women in the industry, things like that.
Yes.
And they're the two subjects that I wanted to broach in the cover in the documentary. And so when I went to have a yarn with her, she was in full support, and I told her straight too. And I was like,
and she's a female, is she? Of course.
She's female. Yeah,
good.
Lady. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I told her, like, I was like, oh, you know, these are the subjects we're going to talk about. And she said, if that's been your experience in the industry, that's been your experience.
Yeah.
And she goes, I'm happy with the production crew coming on on the site. So, yeah, and then I had to speak then, of course, to our legal team for the company down in Brisbane.
Yes,
and, yeah, they had a few little things
queries
that they wanted to, cover off, which is fine, you know.
Sure, guidelines, yep.
And, yeah, guidelines and things like that, safety-wise and... But we were able to come to, an agreement. So they were so supportive. So I'm very, very grateful that they were able to come to the table with us and let us share, the ladies that were in the documentary, let us share our experiences.
Yes. Quickly talk about your job now as a black woman in mining. So is it fly in, fly out?
Yeah, fly in, fly out to central Queensland there, week on, week off.
Mm.
So, it's a deadly job. Rewarding in its own ways, kind of thing, and you're able to support your family, with the, because it is good money, And so then the flow-on effect of that, like a lot of us, we don't have, generational wealth, eh? So it's just getting that opportunity, I guess, to build that and make sure that, my parents are taken care of.
Exactly.
And things like that.
Our jobs and our careers, they're only financial vehicles. So be passionate about the vehicle you're driving. So you make the money, you pay the bills, whatever the case may be, but you've got to get passionate about what you're doing, And then you're spinning two plates there. You love the job in the mining, but also aspiring to be a screenwriter, and you're doing that on the side, and now you've got the documentary coming out, Sisters in Mining.
Yeah, that's it.
You are proper deadly, my sister.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, I appreciate it.
good yarning with you. Thank you for sharing. So we can catch us. We can catch the documentary, Sisters in Mining, SBS On Demand. Is that right?
That's him. Yeah, it's on SBS On Demand at the moment, so you might go and check it out.
Good.
And celebrate all these deadly sisters that are, out there doing the hard yarns and representing our mob in the mining industry.
Chantelle, thank you for the yarn, my sister. One love, you take care, and we yarn soon, sissy.
You too, Bala. Eso.
Oh, yeah, well. Beautiful yarn there. Chantelle Leah Ketchell, Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander woman, an aspiring screenwriter. And she's who works as a production operator on coal mine in central Queensland. That's in the Bowen Basin. And so while working in the mines, aspiration to be a screenwriter, she's organised a documentary called Sisters in Mining. So it's on SBS now, SBS On Demand. So do check it out. And look, fantastic yarner with her. And the message there is girls can do anything. So there it is, operating in the so-called man's world in the mining industry. But the interesting statistics there, 216 census reports, there are 240,000 mining workers. Only 1,300 are First Nations women. That's one in 200 people. And more than 90% of 448 publicly listed mining companies operating in Australia do not have a First Nations engagement policy. So there it is. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here? Add to the conversation, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.